Do you remember the painter Norman Rockwell? I suppose you'd have to be of a certain age in order to be able to remember this particular artist. Many of his paintings actually would show up on the cover of a magazine called the Saturday Evening Post. I'm not sure that magazine is even printed anymore. He probably became, in his day, one of the most recognized artists in the United States. And many of the subjects of his paintings were ordinary people like me and you in very ordinary circumstances. And they so often, if you looked at his paintings, they so often looked like people who were filled with joy and they were very much at peace. I would imagine that if he was painting a Christmas scene, I'm sure that it looked like perfection. A happy family surrounded by friends, eating cookies, drinking some sort of favorite beverage, a roaring fire in the hearth, perhaps snow, you know, gently falling outside. And of course, the house was decorated absolutely perfectly. Rockwell's scenes so often reflected joyful, almost perfect American scenes, American families. But I bet you don't know that his life, his real life, did not actually reflect his canvases. He was actually married three times. His first marriage didn't last very long. It ended in divorce at a time when, sadly, divorce had quite a stigma attached to it. And then he got married again, but both he and his second wife faced serious depression. And so they actually both had to do psychiatric treatment. And their doctor once said this of Norman Rockwell. He said he painted his happiness, but didn't live it. He painted his happiness, but he didn't live it. And that marriage ended with his wife's untimely death. And then he married again. I think many of us see Christmas as the time that is supposed to reflect the joy and happiness of Rockwell's paintings. But the reality is, they more often than not reflect the real circumstances of his very real life. I've said this before. You know, I am a sucker for those very sugary, syrupy Christmas movies. I'll watch almost any one of them. But the stories in them, if you watch them, they always end in happiness. They seem to always get what they want in the end, or they get what they needed, but they didn't realize they needed it. But they're always happy at the end of these movies. But our lives aren't like the movies. They're probably more like the Rockwell life that he lived. I'm very aware of many people, even within our own parishes, that really aren't looking forward to Christmas Day. For them, it is or may be a letdown. It's hard to look forward to a Christmas without a loved one who has died over the past year. It's not easy when you're a parent who can't afford to buy the gifts that your kids want, or at least the commercials are telling them that they're supposed to have. It's hard to gather around a table of food when kids or grandkids aren't there, maybe because of some family conflicts. For some, they may actually see Christmas Day as a letdown, a time of emptiness and a time of pain. But in all of that, to all of that, God speaks to us today in the scriptures. Through Isaiah the prophet, what does God tell us? Comfort. Comfort my people. And the voice that's crying out in the desert, it's no other than St. John the Baptist, who actually does speak comfort to God's people. But the comfort that he's giving isn't the kind of comfort that we're going to find in a Norman Rockwell painting. Comfort isn't to be found in anything that most of those syrupy movies will tell you brings you happiness. In fact, I would say this, nothing about John the Baptist seems comforting or even comfortable at all. He lives in the Judean desert, which, if you've ever been there, is like a lifeless wasteland. Not much life is found there. Everything about the description of him and his life seems like something to stay away from rather than to be attracted to. Yet you know what? People are going out to him in this wasteland, to a very inhospitable place. And they're going there in droves. Why is that? Because he is preparing the way for the only one who can fill up the emptiness in people's lives. Because John the Baptist is helping them to prepare the way for the one, the only one, who can bring them comfort and lasting joy. And I think that St. John the Baptist is speaking those same words to all of us even today, 2,000 years later. He tells us, both by his words and even by his manner of life, that there is nothing in a Norman Rockwell painting that can fill up any of the emptiness or longing we may have. I have to tell you, I love Christmas trees. I love Christmas music. I love eggnog with rum. I love snow, as most of you know. I like everything, all that stuff, you know, that surrounds us at this time as we come closer to Christmas. But I also realize something else, that none of that stuff is lasting. If you have a real tree, it'll be in the garbage in January. Toys that kids get, in 2 weeks, they're not playing with them anymore. And the Christmas music will be put away. If I am hoping that any of that, even done perfectly, is what Christmas is all about, and if I spend all of my time of preparation, you know, the time of Advent, getting all of that right, whatever pleasure I may get from it is just going to be fleeting. It will simply go away. So then, friends, what is the best way for us to prepare, even in these next 2 weeks before Christmas? Ironically, it's not by filling up our houses and lives, but instead, it's by emptying ourselves. It's by emptying ourselves. It's by making room in our lives, and especially in our hearts, for Jesus Christ to fill up. Only he can fill up any of the emptiness that we may have. And the more room that we have deep in our hearts, then there is more that Jesus himself can fill up. Anger, sadness, resentments, bitterness, disappointments, loneliness, and of course sin, they take an immense amount of space in our hearts and in our lives. And all of it leaves very little room for Christ to come and then fill us up with his love and mercy. And that's why we need to shed ourselves of that, empty ourselves, so that Christ has room for us when Christmas comes. And so I beg you, take time in these next 2 weeks before Christmas to empty yourself of all that does damage, all that brings only fleeting happiness, and all that creates anger and bitterness, and instead allow yourself to be emptied so that Jesus Christ can fill up that space. I guarantee you that even though you may not have a Norman Rockwell painting style Christmas to look forward to, or even if you might, you will only find lasting joy and a fullness of peace with Christ filling up every nook and cranny of your life. As St. Peter tells us in the second reading today, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him and at peace.